Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. This is Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Come by and worship with us. Our Sunday services began at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, Houston, Texas, 77088. I'd love to see your face in the place. Hello, Apostle. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. Doing good. God is awesome. He's a good God.
He is indeed. Praise his holy name.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's a good God. I said, I'm so grateful for his mercy and his kindness.
Oh, yes. And we just have to keep our eyes stayed upon what he said. Looking unto
yes,
Jesus,
sir.
The author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I know God has given you some good words for us tonight, so can you feed us tonight?
Yes, sir, I sure can.
All right.
And Father God, I thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, those who are listening, I'll say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. If you would, please turn your Bibles with me, if you have your Bibles, to Judges chapter 6.
Amen.
The book of Judges in the Old Testament, chapter 6. And beginning with verses 11 through 16. And there came an angel of the Lord and set up under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianite. Now you have this guy, this brother, Gideon. He's threshing wheat, but he's in a hideout, hiding from the Midianite. He's hiding while threshing the wheat. He's hiding. He don't want them to know that where the wheat is, and he's hiding out. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now here's the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord appearing to Gideon as he's hiding out. He's hiding from the Midianite. But yet here's the angel calling him a mighty man of valor. He said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then is all this befallen us? So Gideon, he put the question toward God, if you're with me, why are we going through so much? Why am I hiding out from the Midianites? Why are they dominating us if you're with us? That's the question. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Gideon is asking the question, where are all the miracles that our fathers were talking about, God? We haven't seen any of these type of miracles. Where are the miracles at? So, you know, Gideon, he's putting forth that question to God. Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So you see Gideon complaining a little bit here about their condition, about the situation that they're in. They're being dominated by the Midianites. And he feels that God has forsaken them. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now, the Lord is telling Gideon, I've chosen you to deliver your people from the Midianites, from the hand of the Midianites. I've chosen you. You go now. I've chosen you to do it. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? He said, how can I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. He says, my family is poor. I don't have a prominent family. I don't have an influential or powerful family. How can I save my people from the Midianite? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.
Yeah.
He said, I'm the least of my father's house, and we have a poor family. We don't have a powerful, influential family. How can I do what you're talking about? How can I save my people from the Midianites? He don't feel like he can do it. Look at verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. The Lord told Gideon, Gideon, I'll be with you. That's how you're going to be able to save Israel from the Midianites. I'm going to be with you. You're not going alone. I'm going to be with you to help you get this job done, to save your people from the hands of the Midianites. Now, Gideon says, hey, I'm not qualified. Gideon says, I'm from a poor family, apostle. You know what? Sometimes God asks us to do things, and we don't quite feel like we can handle it. We feel like we don't have what it takes. And that's how Gideon is feeling right now. But God says, Gideon, you go, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you and give you what you need to help deliver your people, to deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Midianites. You know, he started making up all types of excuses. Remember when Moses got called apostle? Remember when Moses got called to go into Egypt to deliver the Israelites out of bondage? Remember what Moses said? Moses said, I'm a studier. I study. I can't even talk real good. How can I go do it? So he felt like he was inadequate. He felt like he didn't have what it took. You see, there's times when we feel like we don't have what it takes. But God told Moses, I'll be with you, Moses. I'll be with you. Now, look at Judges chapter 7 and look at verse 7. Judges chapter 7, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that laughed will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. By 300 men. So God says, I'm going to take you, Gideon, and I'm going to take 300 men along with you, and I'm going to use you all to deliver your people from out of the hands of the Midianites. And we all know that they won a great battle, that Gideon and the 300 men did win, deliver their people from the hands of the Midianites. They destroyed the Midianites because God was with them. Now, the message God has given me for you is the type of people God chooses to use. The types of people God chooses to use. It would seem like that God would not use Gideon, because Gideon came from a poor family. Gideon was the black sheep of the family. So it would seem like that God wouldn't use him. Apostle Gideon had low self-esteem. He had low self-esteem. But here God is calling him a mighty man of valor. Here God is using him and made him a general. Made him a general of the Israelites. Made him a general and took 300 men and defeated the great army of the Midianites to deliver his people. We're going to look at what the types of people God chooses to use. We see here in Judges that God called Gideon. Now, what is a calling? A calling is an invitation. It's a divine call of God to serve God, to partake of the kingdom of God. So this was a divine call of God, calling Gideon to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. The message is the types of people God chooses to use. The types of people. We're going to look at the types of people God chooses to use. There may be some people, there may be some who are listening tonight that feel like, hey, I'm not qualified. You might feel a calling you. You might feel God tugging on your heart, wanting to use you in the kingdom of God, wanting to use you in the church. But you feel like, hey, I don't have it all together. That's what Gideon, he felt like that. I don't have it all together. You might feel like you don't have it all together. Well, this message is going to encourage you and show you you're exactly the type of people that God chooses to use. The types of people God chooses to use. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at the type of people God chooses to use. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 26 through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We're talking about tonight the types of people God chooses to use. Number one, God chooses to use foolish people. Foolish people. If you are foolish, you're qualified for God to use, if you're foolish, because God chooses to use foolish people. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, look what it says in verse 27. The scripture says, but God hath what? Chosen the foolish things of the world. God chooses foolish people to do great things in this earth. God uses foolish people. What does that word foolish mean? That foolish in the Greek, foolish means dull. It means blackhead. It means blackhead. God uses blackheads. It means absurd. It means laughable, stupid, idiotic, ridiculous. These are the type of people that God uses. And I'm one of those people. I couldn't believe that God wanted to use me because I was a straight-up fool. I was a fool, and I'm still foolish at times. What does that word mean? Is the Greek word is moros. The Greek word for foolish is moros. Moros, and it means dull, blackhead, absurd, laughable, stupid, idiotic. Are people laughing at you? They figure you're stupid or idiot or ridiculous. You look foolish to other people. People are laughing at you and talking about you. People are mocking you. People who don't quite have it together. Those are the types of people that God uses. He uses people who don't quite have it together, that are blackheads, stupid. We're idiots, you know, at times. Where people are laughing at us. Well, those are the type of people that God uses. He said he used what? The foolish. He said he used who? The foolish people of the world to confound the wise. See, God figures if he can raise up someone, which he does, and he raises up someone who's foolish, who don't have it all together, They're not quite that smart. You know what? They're not all that. But God raises them up and uses them to do great feats in this world so that he can get all the glory. God wants all the glory. See, someone who figure they got it all together, they're all that in the bag of chips, they figure they got it all together, then they figure that they've done it all. And they take all the glory. But God, he uses people who are foolish. They know that they don't have it all together. They know that they don't know what they're doing. But God takes them, raises them up, and uses them, and God gets the glory. He gets the glory when whatever he's called them to do is carried out and accomplished. God gets the glory. Like Gideon. Gideon saved his people from the Midianites. The Midianites were powerful warriors. They were strong, a strong people. They were a vast army. But God took 300 men along with Gideon and defeated them. And God got all the glory. We're talking about the types of people that God chooses to use. Number one, God chooses to use, number one, foolish people. Number two, God uses weak people. Weak people. That word weak means without strength. God don't choose the strongest people. God chooses those who recognize they don't have what it takes. Gideon, he realized that he didn't have what it takes. Isn't that right, Apostle? He realized that. He said, I'm the weakest in my family. He said, I'm the black sheep of the family. He said, matter of fact, I don't come from a prominent family. I don't come from a rich and wealthy family. I come from a poor family. What was Gideon doing? Gideon had recognized that he didn't have what it takes. He didn't have what it takes to get the job done. You know, you're not qualified. Gideon knew, I'm not qualified to save my people from the Midianites, God. That's what Gideon was saying. I'm not qualified. That's what Moses was saying when God called Moses to go and save his people out of the hands of the Egyptians and take them out of bondage. Moses said, I don't have what it takes. I stutter when I talk. I'm not qualified. But see, God uses weak people. He uses weak things. He chooses those who recognize they don't have what it takes. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I tell you, God can raise up you, man, woman, sister, brother. God can use you. Don't figure that you can't be used by God because maybe you don't have the education or you don't have the money. You don't have the smart. Maybe you figure, you know, I'm not smart enough. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is say yes to God. God uses foolish people. God uses weak people to do great things. Remember when God called me to the ministry? Well, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. And I knew that I didn't have what it takes to pastor a church and to start a church. God used me to start a church, didn't have two pennies to rub together, didn't know how to pastor. I still can't do it on my own. Still don't. I recognize that I can't do it without God. God raised me up, gave me a church building, debt-free, paid in full, and he's beginning to draw and bring the necessary people to be helped and taught, and then later on help expand the ministry. God does use foolish people. He does use weak things. I'm an ex-drug addict, strung out on dope for nearly 10 years. Came to Houston, Texas from Austin, Texas in a stolen vehicle with dope, with women. Came down here to pick up drugs and take back to Austin. But here I am pastoring a church since 1998. I got here in 1996, a criminal, a fugitive, on the run from the police. But God uses the foolish things of the world. He used the weak things of the world. I surrendered my life to God. I said, Jesus, I surrender. Help me. Forgive me. and he took my life, and now he's using me to pastor a church. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on television for over 5 years now. I tell you, we're reaching people, helping people get saved, discipling people, helping people to learn the Word of God, helping families to become strong, helping men and women to build strong ministries, strong businesses. We're helping people to be better people, and we're reconciling people back to God. Who would ever have thought that God would use an ex-drug addict to do something like that? But he is, because I'm an ex-drug addict. I'm talking about the types of people that God chooses to use. Number one, God uses foolish people. Number two, God uses weak people. And number three, God uses the base things. The base things. What does that mean? He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28 says, and the base things of the world. God used the base things of the world. Now, that Greek meaning for base means the low ones. God uses low ones. He uses people of low birth. They didn't come from prominent families. He uses people of low birth. He uses unknown people. No one knew about me, and not many people know about me now. I'm unknown, but God uses unknown people to do great things in this earth. No one has heard of their name. No one wants to be related to them. That's what that Greek word for base things mean. No one wants to even be related to them. They're inferior. They're of low quality. They don't measure up. They don't measure up to what God is calling them to do and what God wants them to do. They don't measure up. That's all right. God uses people, according to the scripture here, that don't measure up. Gideon figured, I don't measure up. Moses figured, I don't measure up. But God uses the low ones, the low people. He uses the low people, then raise them up to do great things, and God gets all the glory. I'm talking about the types of people God chooses to use. God chooses, number one, to use foolish people, people who appear to be foolish. Number two, God uses weak people, those who recognize they don't have what it takes. They're without strength. They don't have what it takes. But God uses the weak people. He don't choose to use the strongest people. No, he uses the weak people. He uses the base things, the low ones. Those who no one has heard of, or no one even wants to be related to them. He uses people of low quality and inferior who don't measure up. And number four, God uses those people who are despised. You know, Jesus was despised. He was disliked by people without a cause. People didn't like Jesus for no reason whatsoever. They just didn't like him. Have you ever heard someone tell you before, I don't know what it is about you, but I just don't like you? Have you ever heard of that, Apostle? I just don't like you. Some people just despise you, don't even know you. Those who are despised, considered to be nothing, they're belittled. Those are the types of people that God chooses to use. Those who are despised. Look at 1 Corinthians again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. God chooses to use people who have been despised, disliked, considered to be nothing. You don't have to be all big and you don't have to be all rich and have it all together for God to use. God uses those who are despised. And my fifth and final point, God uses those people, according to the scripture, those things which are not. Those things which are not. Verse 28, the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. What does that mean? Things which are not. God uses those people who are unrecognized. He uses people who have been looked over. He used people who have been counted out. Oh, they ain't nothing. They ain't about nothing. God can't use them. You're the very person that God can use. He uses people who have been looked over. Remember David? Samuel was going to he went to the house of Jesse to choose from Jesse's sons the next king of Israel. Saul had messed up. King Saul had messed up, and God was getting ready to replace King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. He messed up with God. He was disobedient to God. And so now God is getting ready to replace King Saul, and he's choosing the next king of Israel from the household of Jesse. Now the prophet Samuel, he's come to the house of Jesse, and Jesse has brought his sons, and he looks at his sons and say, hey, I know amongst these boys, one of these boys is the next king of Israel. But he said, no, he's not the one. God told Samuel, no, he's not the one. No, he went on again, no, he's not the one. He went through Jesse's sons, and he said, none of these are the one. And he said, Jesse, do you have any more sons? And Jesse said, yeah, I have one, but he's out in the field watching the sheep. Look, he was looked over. He wasn't even considered to be the next king of Israel according to his father. His father left him in the field and called all his other sons to the meeting. But he was looked over. He sent and he got David to come to the meeting, and the prophet looked at David and said, he's the one. He's the next king of Israel. You see, he was looked over, but he ended up being the one that God chose to be the next king of Israel. God uses those which are not, those who are unrecognized, those who are looked over and counted out, those who are not celebrated, who are not honored. Those are the people who God uses to do great things. Those are the people that God uses and raises up to do great things in the church. And then God gets all the glory. I've been talking about tonight the types of people that God chooses to use. Number one, God chooses to use foolish people. Number two, God chooses to use weak people. You don't have to be all strong for God to use. God chooses to use weak people, foolish people. And number three, God chooses to use base people, the base things, the low things, the unknown people. No one's heard of them. The low quality people, the people who don't measure up. And number four, God uses those who are despised, those people who are disliked and considered to be nothing, belittled. Those are the type of people that God uses, the people who are considered to be no account in the church. They're not worth anything. They're not nothing, and they're disliked. Those are the type of people that God chooses to use. And number five, God uses those people which are not, that are unrecognized, looked over, who are counted out, who are not celebrated and not honored at all. Those are the type of people that God uses to do great things in the church, to do great things in this world, to do great things on this earth. God can raise you up to be a mighty person in the church. He can raise you up to have a great business, a great ministry. He can raise you up to have a great family and to lead a great family. God can raise you up to do great things on this earth. These are the types of people that God chooses to use. Don't count yourself out. Don't think that you're so foolish God can't use you. He uses foolish people. Don't think that you're so weak that God can't use you. He uses weak people. Don't think that you're so low that God can't use you, or you're so disliked by others that God can't use you. These are the types of people that God chooses to use. And that's what God wanted me to share with everyone tonight. Apostle?
Yes, sir. Amen, amen. God bless the word that we have heard here tonight. Nobody but God. And I believe that God is still. As I said in the Facebook from the 17th chapter of St. John, and Jesus said these words, "And I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you have gave me have kept them and lost none. None of them lost. But the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." You know, God is so good. God was a prophet. He prophesied what was going to happen through his son. So I believe we got a brother coming on, going to teach us some word also. This is the Pastor Irvin. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm praising the living God.
Oh, amen, amen, amen. Well, praise amen. God. Yeah, you know, it's always good to follow after Apostle Newsom. I listen to him, and a lot of times he leads me right into the very thing that I'm praying about and been wanting to speak on, and it's always good. I enjoy
amen.
Listening to him. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. So, you know, just a little bit, probably the end of the month here, I'm going to be going down to El Salvador. Like I told you before, we're getting ready to build that warehouse down there so we can send supplies down and be able to feed and those in the orphanages and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. You know, praise God. God's opening doors up for us that we're being able to do this. And I give God all the glory for that. But, you know, as I was sitting there a couple of days ago, and God asked me, sister, I said, "What are you leaving for an inheritance?" And I sat there and I thought about it, and I went, "Lord, I don't have any children. This is an inheritance." And then he began to show me some things. And
mm-hmm.
and this is kind of harsh, and it's kind of hard right now because he showed me three people and witnessing these three people. One is a man that he's been in ministry ever since he was 15 years old. He's been spent 40 years ministering or better. The other man, he's a minister and he's around here in this area, and he believes what he's doing is all good and everything else. And I'm going to get into these here real quick. And the other minister that I'm sitting there and looking at and talking about and thinking about is somebody who, like you said, apostolism, is really virtually a nobody. But this first minister, he's a prosperity preacher. And I mean, he's a good minister. Don't get me wrong. He is a very anointed man of God, because when he preaches, when he really gets into and preaches, he's good. He's really, really good. But him and his family, his wife is split. His wife is opening another church. He's got the church. But his whole ministry was based on money. Because he set up accounts and everything else, and he set up a fund for his future, for the inheritance and everything else, and he's saying it's for his children, and then he's going on and on about this and about this and about that, and his whole ministry has been about money. And then his father was a prosperity minister, and he made a ton of money. And I'm not criticizing, don't get me wrong. I don't follow me here for a minute, because God started showing me some things. Anyhow, this man's ministry it started hemorrhaging. His money is going out the window faster than he can hold on to it, because that was his whole means, was the money. And I'll get into this a little bit more with the inheritance and so on and so forth. But this other man that I'm talking about is another minister here in the Houston area. Drives a really nice car, dresses really well. Hey, I've seen him around at different conferences and so on and so forth. He's a married man. And yet, I had some business to do at one of the motels, and I got talking to a man here that's a man of God. In fact, when I was sitting here, the people were coming into the lobby there, and he was talking about Jesus to these people. But he got talking to me and telling me that because his wife is a manager of a department store here in the Houston area, and he was telling me all these different things that's going on. He doesn't go to church because of the hypocrisy that he's found in the church. Because this man comes to his motel and uses his tax-exempt status to use the motel room for a couple, 3 hours, and then goes. Yet this man, he stands at the pulpit and he preaches. What he does in that room, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. The other man I want to talk about is the man who, as I said, it was a man here at the hotel here who does and loves the Lord, and he talks about God all the time, and his wife is a believer in the Lord, and she sits there and she runs this department store. And she says that the pastor wives, they go in and they buy these really expensive dresses. And then they know that they have a return policy, it doesn't matter whatever it is. And they use their tax exempt status to buy the dress. And they use these dresses and they go out on a gala, or they go out to an event, and then they take the dress back after they've worn it, say they don't want it. These things, we people will say, well, you know, it doesn't hurt anything. You know, they'll just do whatever else. We don't need to worry about that. But all that money and all that returns, addresses, and so on and so forth, you and I pay for it because the price has to go up because we have to sit there and deal with that shenanigans that these people are pulling. These people are in the ministry. And I say, what I'm getting at to now is to the point of the inheritance. When God asked me, what inheritance am I leaving? Jesus left us for the kingdom of heaven as an inheritance for those who come to Christ and turn their lives over to the Lord, to believe in the Lord. And there are many out there who are witnessing to the people around the world, and they are losing their lives. And they're doing all these other things, and they're going into places where no man would really want to go, but they go. And they witness, and they're a witness. This man that I'm talking about with the motel room, he actually came back the day when I was sitting here, and I recognized the man, but I didn't say anything to him for a room. Now, that's between him and God, whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter. That's between him and God. But the other man, they would sit there, and I said, he was talking about all his whole life and everything else and his ministry. He based it on money. It was a factor of money. That God has taken his money and is going out the window so fast because he lost the concept of what it is. He wants it to be a Las Vegas type show, entertainment, to entertain the people, to put them out there, and that's not what God has come to do. Jesus didn't call us to be entertainers, but to be disciples, be followers of Christ. God has called us into the ministry. in our inheritance that we leave to the children of this world and to the body of Christ is what we do here. It's what we do here, and when we leave this world, how are we leaving it into to the hands of the children of Christ that are coming up? How are we leaving this world into the hands of your children and your grandchildren? That we're seeing it being demolished, we're seeing it being wicked, overthrowing and growing and growing and growing, because maybe we're not doing what we need to be doing, that we need to be doing from the pulpit. But God was showing me, and he keeps showing me, and he kept asking me, he says, what about the inheritance? Now, it would be nice if I could sit there and have a house of my own. I could have a fine car. I would be able to get in an airplane and fly anywhere I want to, any given time of day or night I want to. It doesn't make any difference. I had the funds and everything else. But you know, that's not what God has called me to do. Now, I know for a lot of things, even Apostle Newsom, you started out as a criminal. Well, I'm walking in good company because I was a criminal too. I was doing drugs, I was doing everything else, and God delivered me over 30 years ago from all that stuff. And he's used me for the ministry. And I've been there and been overlooked so many times. I've been overlooked and overlooked and overlooked. And I'm going, God, why? Because he has something bigger and better planned for me for the ministry.
Amen.
You know, this is a harsh message I'm delivering right now, but that's something that we need to look at. And those who are fallen, those who have come to a point where they've disregarded God's word for money, to sit there and be an entertainer, to be, look at me, here I am. And the other man that's sitting there and it goes to the motel room for a rendezvous or whatever it is he's coming here for, and whatever he's doing. You know, what he thinks he's doing in secret, God's going to expose it. And it's going to destroy his ministry, and it's going to destroy his family. It's not so much it's going to destroy his ministry. It's also going to sit there and bring a lot of questions into the church. The man that's lost his wife and his church is hemorrhaging right now. And she went and started another church somewhere else. And he's trying to keep this church going. These people are coming to me and they're asking me, what should we do? And I ask them, I said, who are you serving? Are you serving this man? Are you serving this woman? Or are you serving God? They said, well, we want to serve God. I said, then serve God. You can stay in that church. Or you can help. You can help them. You can support them. You can build them up. You can do whatever else. Be there and be with them. That's being a man of God. But, you know, I said, don't get involved in their misery, because God is bringing them down. He's bringing them down because he wants them to back onto the ground where they need to be able to be the ministers that God has called them to be, and not the entertainers that they want to be. Nor is it the man that sits there and comes to the motel room that he figured he's getting away with something. Now, he had a nice car. He was dressed well. How long you think that's going to last? How long you think that's going to last in the eyes of the Lord? I've gone to a service one time, and they had motorcycles flipping in the air on God's altar. How long do you think that church is going to last that would sit there and do something like that on the altar of God? We read in the Bible so many times that different things that was done at the altar, and how they served God at the altar, and what they did to profane the work of God on the altar, and how they sit there and did these things, and God destroyed them. We have to be careful, because we are the light of the world. We are the ones who is going to leave an inheritance. Now, whether that inheritance would be that we be that light, that we the shining light for those that come into the kingdom of heaven, or are we going to be sit there and be that light of hypocrisy. We have to understand who we are and what we're doing and not what we want to be. I don't think Gideon really wanted to sit there and go to wars like you said. He said, this is, who am I? Moses, who am I? Even I sat there, and when God called me into ministry, I said, what, you crazy? Who am I?
Amen.
How would you, what, you lose your mind or what? What do you call me into ministry for? You know, but God uses me. And I've been through some hard times. And I've been through some very tough places. And I've gone through, and God has held me up, and he's pulled me through. And, yeah, I've stumbled in that cause, and I've stumbled many a times. And I'm the first one to admit it. And God sat there and knew what I was going to do. He already knew that I was going to stumble. But he made a way through my mistakes. He had blessed others.
Amen. Amen.
So it's not something that I led somebody into doing purposely or anything else. Because if I did something like that, God will bring correction to me, and he will still bless those before that reason. But like I said, these ministers, the last one I want to talk about is this man at this motel room, or it's not the motel room, but this motel that manages the motel. Like I said, he is a man of God. I've sat there and watched him and listened to him as he ministers to people, because there's people in that motel that are staying there by the week and by the month. And some are construction workers. They use foul language and everything else. And he sits there and he says, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And he talks, and, you know, and he goes on about what he wants to say, and he talks about Jesus. And he's there to help them, you know, and comfort them. He tries to give them a peace of mind, because some of them are stuck out. Some of them are hurting. Some of them have no place to live. They can't afford anything because maybe they lost their rent because they've defaulted on their lease, and so they can't get another apartment, and so they stay here. They stay here at this motel, and he works with them, and he talks to them, and he ministers to them. Yet he doesn't go to church because of the hypocrisy that he's seen in the church. Yet he's leaving an inheritance here, because if he changes one, that one's going to change another. Just as Jesus took 12 and he changed the world.
Come on now.
Amen.
Jesus took 12 and he changed the world. And our inheritance is what we leave. It's not the finances, because God just showed me that with this man. Because God's going to show him, says, that's not the inheritance I wanted you to leave. Because the inheritance that we leave for our children is that we brought them up right. We leave this world, try to leave it in a better condition than what we were brought into it. The inheritance that we leave for our children is not the finances that we got. It's not the house, and it's not the cars. It's not anything else that we accumulated in our lives to give to someone else, to our children's children, because all they do, and 90% of them, to the families, it goes into probate. It goes into some kind of thing. They fight over it. The family split. They get into arguments, they get into everything else, it becomes hatred, it becomes a lot of other things, because mom and dad's inheritance, that was mine, no, this was mine, no, that was mine, no, she, mom promised me that, granddad promised me that, and it goes on and on and on. That's not the inheritance that God was talking about. The inheritance God was talking about was the kingdom of heaven on earth. And those who are walking in the spirit of the Lord, what we leave behind, we leave a legacy, not of ourselves, but of Christ through us, that we can better this world. We can take those who have fallen. We can take those who are lost. We can take those who have been forgotten. we can take those and give them hope through salvation of Jesus Christ. The inheritance that we give is for the kingdom of heaven. It's not of cars and homes. It's not the money. Because this man, I'll tell you right now, all his money is going out the window and he can't understand why. This man can't understand why that well, I put all this in here because I was going to leave it to my kids, and I was going to leave it. The kids, his inheritance is that of his children and of his children's children and his children's children's children. And that what he leaves is because who he had talked to, who he led to the Lord, who he had brought to salvation, who he had helped along the way. The inheritance that would be passed down to generation to generation to generation to generation through Christ Jesus. God asked me, what inheritance am I leaving? And it got me thinking. Because so many have gone to the point of thinking, well, if I get rich here, I can leave all this money and I can leave all this and everything else. And, well, if I have all this and I can leave that, and you know, if I have a string of apartments, my kids will be set for life. Well, you know, that day is coming when it's going to be a one world order. There's going to be a day coming when the American dollar is going to be worthless. They're going to have a one world currency. There's going to be a day that's coming that everything that you have is going to be either destroyed or it's going to be eaten up or it's going to be taken from you because of the one world order that's coming. What inheritance are you leaving? What inheritance are you leaving to your children or your children's children? What inheritance are you leaving if you don't have children that for this world, for the kingdom of heaven, the inheritance? Well, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to know and understand. Now, I ask that we pray for these ministers that I'm talking about, because they truly do need help, that they begin to see the light and they begin to see what's going on. I know the man that came to the motel room. He believes he's getting away with something, but God is going to make a short end of that shortly, because he doesn't. God doesn't allow that in his house. God tells you and I to get our house in order, and everybody goes home and they get out the stick and they start whacking their wives and their husbands and their kids and getting them in line. And that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about you. Get yourself in order. Get yourself in alignment with the Lord. Get yourself in order, because I'm coming back for a church. I'm coming back for a bride. I'm coming back. And you better be right. I'm coming back, says the Lord. We need to understand that we cannot look at what the kingdom of heaven is in a worldly manner, but only of the supernatural of what Christ is. We can't take what we consider as being an inheritance of the things of this world, because God says all that is going to burn up, it's all going to go to dust, it's going to be eaten up by worms. It doesn't make any difference, because that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. The inheritance that you will leave to your children and your children's children and your children's children. And that those who don't have children, that who are in the ministry, who you've touched so many others for the kingdom of heaven. The inheritance, those who you brought in for salvation, those who you fed, those who you closed, those who you helped through their times of troubles and tribulations. Yes, I know there's times when we don't want to get involved in somebody else's misery. You know, because, you know, there's times when we really don't need to be in that situation, because it will suck you dry. But at the same time, we can stand there and we can stand there in prayer, and we can stand there in faith and believe that you're going to, that God's going to pull them through, and we can sit and guide them through that of the body of Christ. That inheritance that God has put into your life, that He will allow to manifest into someone else's life for the kingdom of heaven. I ask you, what inheritance are you leaving to your children? What inheritance? And I'm saying your children, because if you're a minister and you have a church, those God who put into your hands that you're shepherding, that you're taking, that those are your children. Those who God has put in place into your keeping, those are your children. What inheritance are you leaving them? Are you leaving them with a thought of hypocrisy? Are you leaving them with a thought of greed? Of that all it is, it's all about money. It's all about everything else, about having everything, or is it about the kingdom of heaven? Is it that knowing that what God has for us, God has given us, that we can lay hands on people and they be healed? We can cast out demons. We can raise the dead. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That inheritance that Jesus left for us, for the kingdom of heaven that's at hand today, now, right now, the kingdom of heaven is in your hands. What inheritance are you going to leave to the children of Christ? What inheritance are you going to leave to the children of God? What are you leaving? You know, God watches over each and every one of us. And He sees that where we need help. He sees us where we're going. He knows that He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And we have to submit to and be able to sit there and come to some point in our lives and say, "Oh God, I'm yours. Do your will on me." But if you've got them people being confused and they can't understand how it is that they're living this way, and then yet they're teaching you something different this way, how are we to sit there to answer God? I ask again, what inheritance are you leaving for God's children? Praise God. I know that this has been a very sobering message that I've had tonight, but God has laid that on my heart. And like I said, He's showing me these three different people. And I know all three of them. And I know there's many, many more out there that are just like them.
Amen.
And I know they are in need of prayer. They're in need of help. And I also know they're in need of that, of encouragement.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Praise God, guys. That's about my message for the night. I don't know if how much more time I got, but that's just something that God has laid on my heart. And I've been 3-4 days. It's just been tearing me up. I just going, what inheritance? What inheritance? And then, because like I said, I don't have any children of my own or anything else. And I've been just doing the ministry and everything else. But then He opened my eyes and He showed me.
Amen. But you know,
amen.
God,
amen.
The God we serve is a great God. He's a merciful God. And tonight we have a gentleman coming on with us by the name of Abraham Johnson. He's coming on tonight because he's with us on the past, and he's coming back with us to give us more what God put on us. So will y'all bear with him? I'm going to bring him in. He's going to tell us what God's going to do for him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hello, Evangelist. How you doing? Evangelist? Hello? 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 Evangelist, are you there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me out there?
Evangelist, are you there?
Can you hear me? Yes, sir.
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Glory to God. The devil is a lie.
He is a lie.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We come tonight, man, just to tell God thank you. Hallelujah, man. We just want to give God the glory on tonight, give him all the praise, all the honor. We thank God, hallelujah, for his word. We thank him for his son, and we thank him for this program, and we just thank God for everyone that's on the program.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So tonight, then, I'm not going to be before you long, then. I know 30 minutes is not very long, then, but however long it is, I want to lift up the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
We come tonight, then, with a vital message. And that message is there's power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Or in the blood of Jesus. Delegated power. Hallelujah. God has given the body of Christ power. And that power comes through the blood. So
amen.
We recognize the blood only on Communion Sunday. But the blood entails more than that. The blood goes, hallelujah, goes all the way, hallelujah, from everything that we do is under the blood. And I'm so glad that Jesus shed his blood for you and I. And the word of God let us know then that there's power in the blood. We have authority. Brothers and sisters, we have the authority to use the name of Jesus. And we have the authority to use the blood. And we have the authority to use the word of God. The book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse, it let us know saying that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. And it said, casting down every imagination that tried to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. And that's all through the blood of Jesus. He said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He's talking about the blood of Jesus. Under the blood, said, no weapon that could come against us. No weapon because of the blood. Witchcraft, voodoo, hallelujah. All of these things, hallelujah, saying, glory to God, cannot touch us because of the blood. The blood is just more than just Communion Sunday. It's the first or the third, first or second, third or fourth. It entails more than that. It's power in the blood. We shouldn't go to bed without the blood. We shouldn't leave home without the blood. Hallelujah. See, we shouldn't, hallelujah, wake up in the morning, say, without the blood of Jesus, because it's the blood that kept us safe all night long.
Amen.
I just thank God for the blood. I thank God for the blood. I'm not going to be before you long, but I just want to touch on some things. I just want to touch on some things, hallelujah, that the blood entails, that the blood freely gives us. Amen. The blood freely gives us some things, but it wasn't free to Jesus by shedding his blood. His blood, hallelujah, was shed for our salvation. For salvation. There's no other way that we can be saved except by the blood of Jesus. And the word of God says, salvation is an act of being born again, being saved from eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. Hallelujah. We are saved by the blood from eternal damnation. And then if we say in John 3:3 said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We have to be born again, my brothers and sisters, before we can even see the kingdom. He didn't say enter into it, before we can see the kingdom, we have to be born again. And the only way that we can be born again is through the blood of Jesus. And then he said, Acts 4 and 12. Hallelujah. Neither is there salvation in any other. We cannot be saved by man. Hallelujah. He said, talking about man. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through the blood of Jesus. Only through receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not joining the church. I'm not knocking the church or belittling the church. So don't go there saying he said about my church. I'm saying that we have to do Romans 10, 9 and 10. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be what? You shall be saved. Hello? Hello? It's there. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
All right, then. I just want to get a feedback because hallelujah. See, the devil is trying to come through the phone. Hallelujah. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he's talking about salvation. But now saying he freely gave us the atonement. And you say, well, what is atonement, brother? The atonement is that which blot out or cover over the sins of mankind. The atonement means that he blotted out. Blotted out the, hallelujah, the sins of mankind through the blood. And the song says that nothing could wash away my sins but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it says atonement. And then it says Romans 5:11. Mm-hmm. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. But now we have received the atonement through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's quiet out there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Redemption. The contract. Redemption simply means the contract on our lives is paid in full. Back from the power of sin and death. Redemption simply means that Jesus paid the ultimate price. He sacrificed his life for you and I. He gave it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Man didn't
take it from him. He gave up his life. Redemption. Yeah. And then Psalm 107. I like Psalm 107 too. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Say so. Hallelujah.
We have redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Hallelujah. If we have been redeemed from the hands of the enemy, we ought to be able to say so. Hallelujah. We ought to be able to lift up the name of Jesus because of the blood. The word of God says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men. He didn't say if you sell chicken dinners, pies, popcorn balls, apples, hallelujah, glory to God. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll do the drawing. And I want to let you know, Sam, hallelujah, all you have to do in your spirit, worship is to give God the glory. Put the blood back in the church. Sing the blood songs. We no longer sing the blood songs no longer. Hallelujah. I remember in the old days when I was young going to church, glory to God. Hallelujah. The old people were saying, they were singing the blood songs.
Amen.
They were singing the songs like nothing but the blood. And what can wash away my sins? When something was going wrong in the church and these old mothers would feel a thing that was going wrong in there, they'd get to walk and they begin to plead the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
It's all about the blood.
The blood.
Hallelujah.
The blood.
I want to talk about redemption. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, whom we have redemption through the blood of Jesus. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace.
according
to the riches of his grace. And I'm reminded of what the word said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Many times people want to remind us of the things that we did, but everything that we did is under the blood.
Hallelujah.
We are a new creation in Christ Jesus because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. Redemption. It says, Revelation 5 and 9, thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and have redeemed us to God by the blood. We have been redeemed back to the Father, reconciled back unto the Father because of the blood. Hallelujah. There's no other way that we can be reconciled back unto God but through the blood. We got to go back to the blood. And in this last days, we're going to need the blood, my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
There's a virus called Zika virus. And I can see that the devil's in that. A mosquito bites you, and then, glory to God, you're pregnant, and a mosquito bites you, and your baby come out here with a deformed head. With a regular body. So you gotta look at that thing, man. I say, my God, the devil is alive. You better cover yourself with the blood. Hallelujah.
Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. I'm just excited. And then you talk about after redemption, it's a justification. Justified. The word justification, hallelujah, I'm justified. Yeah, why do you say I'm justified? Because justification simply means we have been acquitted of guilt and sin.
That's right.
I am no longer guilty with sin in my life because of the blood of Jesus. That's what justification means. I'm acquitted, no longer guilty, hallelujah, because of the blood. Romans 5:9 says, much more than be now justified by his blood. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. For the wrath to come, the anger, hallelujah, of the devil, hallelujah. He's walking around because he's angry. I want to let you know, Sam, when you start talking about the blood, the devil get agitated.
When you start talking about the
blood of Jesus, the devil, hallelujah, glory to God. He go into a panic move, glory to God, because he know what the blood did him, hallelujah. He know what the blood did, hallelujah. He knows what the blood is doing. We the ones that know nothing about the blood. The devil know about the blood. When you start singing the blood songs again, hallelujah, you're going to see the church began to grow. You're going to see the church began to develop. When we get back into the blood, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus Christ, not one day, but hallelujah, every time we enter to the body of Christ, every time something come up in our lives, affliction, pain, glory to God, confusion, in our homes, in our marriage, on the job, all that we have to do is began to plead the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood, my brothers and sisters. It is not about man. It's not about us. Glory to God. We have to take ourselves out of the equation and put Jesus in, put the blood in, put the word of God in. We got to go back to the word of God. We have to stand on the word of God. The word is powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. In the name of God. The devil can stand the name of Jesus. Preach the word. People say, preach the word in season, out of season. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, reprove, rebuke, and correct.
Yes.
It has to be preached. Why did Paul say that? He said that because the second chapter of Timothy, the fourth chapter, he said, but then he said in the third chapter, he said, in the last days, they're going to be perilous times. Men going to be lovers of their own self. They're going to be proud, high-minded, unthankful, unruly, ungrateful, without natural affection. And he went on to say, glory to God, we need the blood to be able to endure the last days, my brothers and sisters. And the church is not enough. because we got the weapons of our warfare, the blood, the name, and the word of God. Hallelujah. It's time now, saying that we go back to the blood. It's time now, saying we say, many times, men would say out there in radio land that I already know that. If you know it, then why are you still defeated?
Glory
to God. Why are you not blessed? Why are you not prosperous? Do you not know that there's prosperity in the blood?
Amen.
Do you know that there's healing in the blood? Do you not know that there's deliverance in the blood, that there's love and peace and joy in the blood?
Of
Jesus Christ, the dead blood of Jesus. I'm so glad that we are blood washed.
Yeah.
We're cleansed through the blood. Hallelujah. We are made holy through the blood. We're accepted among the beloved through the blood. We become blood, hallelujah, blood splashers. We begin to splash blood everywhere. Hallelujah. Put the blood up on your car. Put the blood up on the doorpost. In the room of my house, I have the blood in. On the doorpost, I have the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody taught me. Somebody taught me, and I'm only passing it down. Hallelujah, the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. When I hear a storm on its way, I don't begin to, exhort the storm. I begin to cry out the blood. I begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, through the blood, protect this building. Through the blood, Lord God, protect the trees. Lord, through the blood, hallelujah. Lord God, through the blood, as I travel up and down the highways, Lord, it's the blood of Jesus that's going to protect me. Lord, as I fly, hallelujah, I get in the airplane. I don't get up there saying, glory to God, with a little nip I want to drink. I get up there with the word of God. But before I get up there, I begin to plead the blood of Jesus for a safe trip to and fro. The blood works. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I admonish us as Christians, as born again believers, we have to use the blood. You see, the devil hoodwinked the body of Christ, the Christian, by telling us that it don't take all that. But in the last days, it's going to take more than that. Hallelujah. It's going to take the blood, it's going to take the name, and it's going to take the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
About our part of business.
Preacher.
We must be a part of business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're not going to get it by just saying, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. I'm an evangelist. I'm a teacher. Hallelujah. And I have all these degrees. You can have more degrees than a thermometer, but if you're lukewarm and cold, it's not going to work. I said it.
Say it, brother.
It's in the blood.
Say it, brother.
In the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are blood bought. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. Nothing can wash away our sins but the blood.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm so excited. That's the blood, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed of the blood. I'm like Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
No.
Because it's salvation. Hallelujah. It is salvation to us through the blood.
The blood.
We got to go back to the blood, my brothers and sisters. We got to remember the blood said. Often as you do this, you show forth my death until I come. It don't mean that you have to wait until the first Sunday. I'm not messing with nobody. I just want to tell you the truth. You can take the blood every day. You can take the blood at your home. In my refrigerator, I purchased some, hallelujah, the little communion cups. Hallelujah. And it was only 25 for 100. Glory to God. And I take it as often. I don't have to wait. Sometimes we get to church and the leader might say, well, I've heard it before. Are we not going to have communion on today?
Mm-hmm.
No. I ain't messing with nobody. I just want to tell you my experience. I just want to tell you my journey. See, it's time now saying that we recognize the blood.
That's right.
But all I was seeing is the blood.
Until
I come to.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as I come to close, I want to let you know, saying that it's under the blood.
Yes.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Oh, God.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing but the blood.
The blood.
Nothing about what you drive. Mm. And nothing what you, what about you wear.
Mm-mm.
You live.
My God.
Nothing can enter in. None of that can purchase your salvation.
My God. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood. Look what Peter said. And as I come to...
Thank you.
As I come to a close, he said, 1 Peter 1:18-19. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things and silver, for your vain conversation, he said, received by the tradition of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he said. But with the precious blood of Christ.
Yes.
That's for a lamb without blemish and without spots.
Thank you, God.
Mm. So God is saying, Jesus said he's coming back for a church. He's not coming back for that building.
Spot on. He's
not coming back for that building. He said, he's coming back for a church without spots or wrinkles.
Holy God. Thank you, Jesus.
Now to get it right.
Yes, Lord.
And all around us, and we have the answer, but nobody want to say nothing.
My God.
God has given us the spirit of fear, the power, peace, love, and a sound mind only through the blood.
Yes, through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus. We shouldn't be fearful.
Yes.
Yes. For me, says, hallelujah. God has given us dominion over everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us dominion over time, but yet we people are afraid of our roach, afraid of everything. God's not giving me the spirit of fear. They say, how you live out there, saying it's snakes out there. It's snakes in the church.
That's right.
It's too many snakes in the church. I'm not messing with nobody, but I just want to tell you the truth. Every time the enemy tell me something about a snake, I tell him, saying, I'm going to bust his head wide open. I'm going to bust his head through the fat meat, and that's what I do. I cover myself with the blood.
Cover yourself with the blood.
Cover your kids with the blood. Cover your marriage with the blood. Cover your finances with the blood. Cover
yes.
your bank account with the blood of Jesus.
Under the blood. Hallelujah.
Under the blood. I know it's time for me to go, but I couldn't tell you tonight, saying glory to God. I just get excited. Hallelujah. This is what God gave me tonight. He said, teach on the blood.
Teach the blood.
It's the blood that's going to save. It's the blood that's going to deliver. It's the blood that's going to heal. It's the blood that's going
to
heal. It's the blood that's
going
to deliver. It's the blood that's going to sanctify. It's the blood that's going to justify. It's the blood that's going to redeem. It's all about the blood. It's under the blood.
Blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus. You can be quiet if you want to, but it's still under the blood.
Yes,
it's
Lord.
It's under the blood. I know it's under the blood because I use the blood.
Yes.
Many times, hallelujah. A little testimony before I get off. We were 42,000 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And hallelujah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the pilot came on, and he began to say, we picked to go through some turbulence. All I did was plead the blood of Jesus up there.
Blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, you undergird this plane. You hold this plane up through the blood.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And everybody saying they were drinking their little drinks and all. They were doing this and doing that. But I was pleading the blood.
Yes.
When we come through the turbulence, that turbulence was like a heart bucking. It was bucking and going on. And hallelujah. And the plane was moving and jumping and going all kinds of ways. But the blood of Jesus.
The blood of
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
Said, brother.
All of a sudden, we came out the turbulence saying, hallelujah. Glory to God. And I said, aloud, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord.
For the blood. Amen.
Thank you, God.
I was hit on collisions on several occasions, several times, and the blood kept us from being hallelujah destroyed. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Coming from church and hallelujah, say coming from church, almost a head-on collision, a block from the church.
My God.
Yeah.
My God.
We just said the blood of Jesus.
Yes. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus and the angels of God move out of her on the side, and the man kept on going.
Yes. Woo, Jesus.
Nothing.
Lord's power in the blood. I'm not trying to be playing with this thing. This thing is real. I don't pray for my salvation. I don't play church. Going in nowhere where they want to be playing and want to be seen. It's not about that. There's, hallelujah. Got a message over here that it's not about you, boo.
Ain't no time for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's not about you, boo. And as I close,
right.
I'll let you know that everything is under the blood. Amen.
Under the blood.
Under the blood.
Amen.
Under the blood.
Under
glory.
The blood.
My past and my future is under.
Yeah.
Is under the blood.
Hallelujah.
Under the blood.
Under the blood.
Under the blood.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I gave my life to Jesus.
Yes.
And it's under.
Under.
Yes, Lord.
The blood.
Amen, amen.
My God, my God.
When friends try to remind me of the sins of my past, then I quickly remind them that I'm free.
Yeah.
Glory.
It's all through God's grace and mercy. He's washed all of my sins away. It's all because the blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You know,
yes,
my
Lord.
Whole life has changed.
My God, my God.
Under
the
blood.
Under the blood.
It's under the blood.
Under the blood. Under the blood.
You see, my past, my present, and my future is under the blood.
Under the blood.
Under the blood.
My God, my
under
God.
Under the blood.
Mm.
I gave my life.
Gave
I turned
life.
It over
gave
to Jesus. And it's under the blood.
My God, my God.
Can I tell you one more thing? This
say,
don't
say.
Bless your mind.
Oh,
seems
Jesus.
Like I couldn't contain. But I cried and I cried.
Yes.
Lord, please forgive me time and time again. It's all through God's grace and mercy.
Hallelujah.
He has
Hallelujah.
Washed my sins away. It's all because the blood of Jesus. Oh, because the blood of Jesus is all because the blood of Jesus. You know my whole life has changed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. Thank God for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
God. Hallelujah. I just thank God. Hallelujah. For they have some people that are faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God.
Thank you, God.
Good.
Yes, Lord.
Everything that we do, my brother and sister, as I close, hallelujah, and we continue. This is a portion that we continue. We
yes.
need to talk about the blood, and
Hallelujah.
We need to study the blood, and
yes.
we need to know what the blood entails.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God, hallelujah, for that anointing song that
Thank
is under the blood.
Amen.
Blood. Yeah.
Under the blood.
And it was done without music because it come from the Holy Spirit. It come from the anointing.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank
you
for the blood.
God, so we thank God on tonight. I thank God for you. Hallelujah, my brothers and sisters. I thank God, hallelujah, for Sister Hunter. Hallelujah. And I ask that you continue doing what God called you to do. And hallelujah.
Yes.
And I want to be obedient to what God said to.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
So until
yes,
next week, at the same time, same station, hallelujah, say good night unto you. And God bless.
Bless
you. And God bless
Amen.
You. The peace of God be with you. Shalom, 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 shalom. Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody like God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I just want to let y'all know tonight for the night that God has invested. He's poured out. Talk about his son blood. I know God is glorified. I am a believer. I am covered by the blood. And I want you to know. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.
Amen.
You always have the answers in general.